Big Ben out there. I thought, oh, maybe John's here this way for the time.
Yes, and there was Ben. It looks like
thank you.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm saying something not quite right.
I'm just trying to make some adjustments here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You should have been here earlier.
No, it's fine. I know when you're ready. I know everything's.
I don't know what we're doing.
We're in chapter 18.
Oh, yeah,
Leviticus today.
We're in the book of Leviticus
today. Leviticus. We're now Leviticus chapter 18.
Are you teasing me or your wife? It's one of us. Must be real funny. I don't know what it is.
I'm sorry about that. A little bit of a... My eye slipped a little bit. So,
I'm sorry.
It's a...
What slipped a little bit?
No, this is different equipment we have to be used to working.
I'm just trying to make an adjustment.
Yes, I understand.
I don't have the people set yet. Well, the bill looks like he's about 1,000 miles away.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. Let me know when you're ready to press the two buttons and we can start. But yeah, this is Oh, we should have a... I should show you how to do the presets. I showed you how to do this before, but
I
guess...
I'm not sure if they work for you. I'm not sure if they work for you.
Okay.
This one, really, I was trying to somehow bring it in closer, but when they bring it in closer, then the sign's gone. No.
I understand what you mean. Let me try it.
Did I ask you if you walked? I think I asked you if you walked.
Yeah, you did ask me.
You didn't walk?
No, there was no need to walk today.
Was it too close?
Yeah, so you're not going to fit there. You just have to leave it.
Okay. Let me know when the machines are started. And we get... We're having a little bit of a technical problem here with some of the equipment, so we're a little bit delayed here in the beginning. I apologize.
There won't be any equipment problems at all. We're having.
Let's start with Zoom. I guess so.
I don't know. It depends if it's a new tape or not. I like have the display on there to see what it says. But
I don't know how to do it.
Okay. If you don't want, do you want the display? You don't have to have
no,
to.
No, I wasn't saying that. Just never mind.
Okay. So it's a zero? Is that right? Alright, so let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the Word of God. Allow it to be an encouragement to us. Father, we know that we are very needy. And we need the Scripture to guide us, to direct us, to encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Leviticus chapter 18. Let's read through some of these verses. Mrs. Grumber, go ahead and read verse 1, please.
Leviticus 18,
And then Barbara verse 2 and Jacob verse 3.
Okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God.
After the birds of the land of Egypt, wherein ye sat, shall ye not fear. And after the birds of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not fear. Neither shall ye walk in my ordinances.
Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God.
Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord.
None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord.
The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother, shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. And so, you notice in here in verse 1, we see this throughout the book of Leviticus. The Lord is speaking to Moses. The Lord speaks directly to Moses. This is prior to the canon of Scripture being completely closed in around 90 to 100 AD, when the Apostle John was given the last words from the book of Revelation to finish the last book of the Bible, that last prophecy. That the canon was open until that time, the Scripture not being completely closed. And so, even this is even prior to the time of the cross. This period here in Leviticus is prior to the time when the children of Israel entered into the promised land. They're getting about to, they're closer than they've ever been, as far as they were in Egypt for 400 years. And Joseph was there for 30 years or so. They were in Egypt for over 400 years. And now they're getting closer to entering into the promised land. And so God had during this time period, God sometimes spoke right through to his prophets, and his prophets then in turn spoke to the people. And so in verse 1, you notice again, we've seen this verse many times throughout the book of Leviticus. The Lord spake unto Moses. And the Lord tells Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, I am the Lord your God. Notice, so we notice that Israel needs to be understand, needs to be identified with the fact that they do have a God, they have a Lord. They're not following the gods, the paganism of Egypt. They need to follow one true God. There's lots of false gods out there today, and in days gone by, but the false gods are false. They're not true, they're not real. I mean, people may have a sincere belief in the false god, but nonetheless, they are still a false and a pagan god. And today, in the culture that we live in today, in our society, in this world we live in, there are still pagans, people who are following false gods, believing in false gods. Even if the false god is secular humanism, if they're even believing in themselves or some other type of person, it's still a false god. The false gods have no answer, have no solutions to the eternal destiny, to the eternal question of someone's soul. Now, I've noticed in verse 3, Mrs. Drummer, what were the children of Israel commanded not to walk? I think we may still have...
From what nation was the man who killed an ox, lamb, or goat from Israel?
No, question number, based on Leviticus chapter 18, verse 3, in what were the children of Israel commanded not to walk? That's right. And neither shall they walk in their ordinances, in the ways that they did things, and the ways that they had things set up. So don't follow the Egyptians. the Egyptian doctrine, don't follow the doctrine of the Canaanites, don't walk in their ordinances, but walk in the right way. Now, this is a very important principle we have to understand today, that again, there is a distinction between Israel and the church. There are two distinct being entities. There is a future for Israel, but an application that we have here is we have to walk in the right way. We don't want to follow apostasy and walk in the wrong way. We have to walk in the correct way. The correct way. Not the wrong way. We have to walk in the correct way. And not after the way the world's walking. I mean, you could travel down this street, and there are apostate organizations on the left side and the right side and the left side that are walking in the wrong way. And we have to understand the fact that these false organizations today, some of them, may have been established and founded on strong doctrinal truth. There may have been slight interpretational problems we may have with them historically, but today they're it's the wrong way. So you want to, when we do something, we have to make sure what we do is biblical. It has to be biblical. It has to be based upon the Word of God. It cannot be based upon the words of man. It has to be based upon the words of God. And it cannot be some false doctrine. See, the doings of Egypt, it was all based in paganism. I shouldn't have to say that, but it was all based in wrong thinking, wrong theology. Ancestor worship, they believed in incarnation. They believed in the afterlife, reincarnation. Thank you. Reincarnation. They believed in reincarnation. They believed in a afterlife that's not like heaven or hell afterlife. They believed that they would have some afterlife. And so, when they were buried, when they were entombed, they saved all the vital organs. They removed the brain because that wasn't important and threw that out. And they had in their tombs and so forth. They had all these different things that they had with them for their so-called afterlife.
What do you mean their organs? All their organs?
Is when they, I think if my understanding is correct, they had. Tammy, want to elaborate on that?
Well, the pharaohs they would bury with them some of their precious possessions, so mm-hmm. they would have something to do when they were in their afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
So that sometimes they were things to entertain themselves.
Yes. And so if you would look at it into a tomb of a pharaoh, you would see these different things. But yes.
You didn't mean like their heart and their kidneys and did you mean that?
Yes, their organs. Many of the organs they would remove and they would put in a separate spot, a separate container.
Okay.
Like with the exception of the brain, I think they thought the brain was worthless, so they disregarded that.
Why?
Corruption of the body.
Yeah.
They tried to preserve the body with spices and herbs and things to preserve them. That's why we got mummies today. But if they left the internal organs in their body, they would have rotted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You've heard of the mummies before, haven't you?
Yes, uh-huh, yeah. I've seen them.
Okay, and so Is that proper doctrine to believe that there's life after death, not in the same sense of eternity, heaven and hell, but as far as they're going to be somehow come back again? Now, the Egyptians aren't the only ones that believe in life after death. There are other false
Hindus.
Religions that believe in life after death, Hindus and
some Buddhists.
And some Buddhists and so forth. And then they also say, don't adopt the philosophy, the wrong philosophy of where you're going from. You're coming out of apostasy. You're coming out of Egypt. Don't live like the Egyptians. And you're coming into a land of Canaan. that is also apostate, don't live like them. Phil, you want to get a thought there?
I can't remember, but it says in the Bible, there's a verse that says, there is one life, then there is a judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards,
yes.
One life.
Tammy.
It's in Hebrews 9:27.
Okay.
It says something about, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
That's it.
Hebrews 9:27. Now, notice here in verse 4, yes, Barbara, what's your thought? And they were instructed not to live this way. They don't live like the Egyptians, and don't live like the Canaanites. Yeah, they were commanded not to live this way. They were said, don't live. In verse 3, it says, after the doings of the land of Canaan, right after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwell. You shall not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, wherein I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. So they were said, don't bring with you the false practices of the land of Egypt, and don't bring with you the don't adopt the false practices of the land of Canaan. And there'll be some things here that. Things that the children of Israel were not to do, we'll see in this chapter, that it's likely that the Egyptians and the Canaanites were doing and had done. And so we see here in verse 4, what were the children of Israel instructed to keep? They were instructed to do the judgments and keep the ordinances, to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. So they were supposed to keep the practices that God told them to keep. They weren't supposed to keep the practices that were present there in Egypt, or the practices that were in the land of Canaan, the area where into which they were going. And they were to live by keeping the statutes and judgments of God. That's how they were to live. Barbara, who was not to be approved? Or rather, who was not to be approached in verse 6?
To any that is near of kin to him. The constitution of Hebrew is flesh of his flesh. So that meant that they were one person that was near of kin, which is why they were not allowed to basically what it is marry them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they weren't too. No, they were forbidden to do that. And so, if you look at verse 7, what is not to be uncovered, and we have a whole, there's several verses about this parallel thought. Tammy first, then Bill.
Start with
Bill, right.
You know, all the people in Canaan and Egypt and other surrounding areas were basically offsprings from Abraham's mistress, Ishmael. The mother of Ishmael. That's where they all came from. Ishmael was the father of all these tribes and all. That's why they're not supposed to follow them.
And we have the children of Keturah as well. The one son of promise is Isaac, right?
That's right.
No, Isaac.
Isaac was the son of promise. That's and, the one we were supposed to follow.
And Isaac had the two children, Jacob and Esau, and then Jacob is the one who became Israel.
Yep.
And so there's this continual conflict we have with Jacob and Israel, primarily with Jacob and Esau, and then you also have the conflict with Isaac and Ishmael, and then of course you have the son, the five or so children of Keturah, Abraham's wife, other wife when Sarah had died. Tam, your thought?
Well, I was just going to say, kind of, with what Barbara was, you know, she was talking about, what this reference was. I mean, think about, you know, with Adam and Eve, everyone that married was all related at that point.
Yes.
So this is the first time that it's actually been laid down as a principle that God wanted them to avoid marrying close relatives, which is interesting because I was looking at something recently and it showed Queen Victoria and how she married her first cousin.
Mm.
I think it was from Russia. And anyway, they ended up having several of her sons. It was a recessive trait that she had for hemophilia, and some of her sons and grandsons had it.
Mm.
And of course, it was passing through her daughters, but it was only, you know, it was a sex-linked trait, so it was only it only showed up with them, you know, the male children. So,
okay.
But it really affected the family. Mm-hmm. That it happens a lot, you know, even, you know, back 100 years ago, probably more than you would realize because of, you know, just the way people, when they came to this country, they would group together in especially people who came maybe in the 1800s, they would gather together in their more ethnic areas, and then they would intermarry, and a lot of times they would end up marrying someone that was related to them that they didn't even realize.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then that would pass along some genetic, either dominant or recessive traits that were not always a good thing to pass along, like you gave that example with Victoria, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is being outlined here that they weren't to do that. You know, when going back to the children of Adam and Eve, there was the genetic, they weren't as, there wasn't as many genetic defects at that time. Pretty soon they were far enough apart that they weren't as closely related. I mean, everyone's related. We all go back to Adam and Eve or Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You know, however you want to look at it, or one of those. We all ultimately go back to Noah, and then from Noah we go back to Adam and Eve. So there is a relationship, but they were separated enough by so many generations of something that were not related in the same way but they're outlining a specific thing here, not to come close to someone that's near of kin, approach someone that's near of kin. Mom, you had a thought there.
I just wondered how it showed up with the Victoria's children.
In the sons. It was a recessive trait. It was a recessive trait.
Hemophilia, I said.
Hemophilia.
Oh, I couldn't hear. I didn't catch it.
Okay. Your battery's dead?
No, it's not for hearing. I just didn't understand. It just came and went.
Okay. And hemophilia is a dominant trait in males and a recessive trait in females.
No, it's a recessive gene in... It was a recessive gene.
She had recessive. And her first cousin...
It's a recessive gene,
mm-hmm.
But when you're a male and you have two recessive genes, then it will show up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Richard Burton, famous actor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Died, 15, 20 years ago.
What did you say, Bill?
Richard Burton had hemophilia.
Huh. Your father thought?
Well, I just wondered more about how these sons, what they were like. That's all. None of us know here. I just wonder about them. That's all. Because I never heard that before. That's very interesting.
Okay, Victoria.
I guess I don't understand what the question is.
Victoria. Victoria, her, was it Edward, her old son?
I don't know.
Is that right?
I have the diagram. I can send it or print it or do something.
Right.
Edward was the one who became king.
Yeah, was it Edward or was somebody between Edward and Victoria?
She had nine children.
Nine children. And
I think I'm thinking of the right person.
Yeah.
She had nine children, and then it passed on to her. I think it was only one of her children that was actually affected.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and she had more than one son.
Okay.
See, it's a recessive gene. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean all the sons will get it.
No, it's recessive, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that both of them have to be defective in order for it to show up.
In other words, the husband would have to have that
yes.
gene as well, that recessive gene.
Mm-hmm. And if even if he does have it, then it doesn't always match up because it's, I guess, a 50% of the time or whatever, however it works out with the Punnett square as far as how that works out.
My understanding is it's a blood disorder.
Okay, it's a blood disorder.
I believe. Mm-hmm. Maybe Bill
yes. So it is the symptom of a blood disorder. Okay.
Yeah, even with a small cut, mm-hmm. a person with hemophilia could lead to death.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they can't, their blood doesn't coagulate.
That's right.
Like my blood or like your blood or anyone else's. The one person that doesn't have his blood. And so it's similar, in a certain sense. Someone that's on medicine, they're mimicking this hemophiliac. So some medicine, some type of blood thinners are mimicking this trait, this disease. You know, the rat poison, or the rat poison that rats have, or mice have, or whatever, when they eat that, it's some type of blood thinner that they're eating. And so eventually, their blood will get so thin from the poison. We call it poison, but that's what effectively what it's doing. And so it's harder for them to, if they had a cut or something, or fall, they may bruise, they may have internal bleeding more so than someone that doesn't have this hemophilia. And so that's how it's exhibited with the children, the sons, or at least one of the sons. Yes?
On Sunday nights, I've been watching this story about Queen Victoria. I didn't know much about her. It's mm-hmm. a continued movie-like story. Very interesting. So right. This is interesting to me.
Right.
Because sometimes if I don't know something, I don't know what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. And so, as long as you're talking about Victoria, is there anyone that has reigned longer than Victoria?
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth
II. Yep. Okay. Elizabeth.
Right. She just passed that recently, didn't she? That number. A few, last year sometimes, she passed that reign. Victoria was the longest reigning monarch until last year. Now, Elizabeth is the longest reigning British monarch.
The longest reigning monarch of all time.
That's right.
Ever will be the longest
That's right,
all time is God.
That's right. You're right. You're right. Okay, so what is to be uncovered? What is not to be uncovered? This is the nakedness in verse 7. Nakedness of thy father, nakedness of thy mother. Something that I cover, she is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Now let's read verses 8 and following. Mrs. Grimm, we're going to start with verse 8, please. Let's read it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
None of you shall approach to any that is near kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord.
That's verse 6.
That
should be verse 8.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Grimmer, I told you the wrong verse. Verse 8.
Yeah, that one?
And then Barbara, verse 9, Jacob, verse 10.
The nakedness of thy father's wife shall thou not uncover if thy father's nakedness.
The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover.
The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover, for there is thine own nakedness.
The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
Are we on verse 12 now?
Yes.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinsman. I don't think... Well.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thy aunt. Okay, so looking back at verse 8 for a moment here. What is the nakedness of one's father? And that's the equivalent of the nakedness of the father's wife. And so it's not to be uncovered. It's inappropriate to have this close relationship with someone who's your stepmother and so forth. Now, in verse 9, Jacob, who could have been born abroad or at home? In verse 9, Jacob.
The daughter of thy mother, the daughter of thy mother, whether she was born at home or abroad.
Yes.
That shall not uncover. And that would be the father or the sister, the daughter, the father, or the father.
Okay, and so whether she be born abroad, I think that's the sister, right? The sister, the daughter of thy father, or so forth, Tammy.
Well, so if she was born abroad, she wouldn't really be someone that would be known. I mean, assuming this person is a man, he might not know his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he might think it's fine, but it's not fine because...
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That's correct. And when we look at verse 10, what shall not be uncovered? The nakedness of thy son's daughter, okay? Or the daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shall not be uncovered. For theirs is thine own nakedness, and so this is the closer kin relationship that we have with different relatives. And in verse 11, who is to be considered one sister? Your father's wife's daughter. So this could be likely a stepsister, so they're still considered as a sister. Now in verse 12, Bill, who is one's near kinsman? Who is one's near kinsman?
Father's sister.
And that father's sister. Okay, so our father's sisters is our aunts, you know, and so forth. That's our mother's sister, their aunts, you know. So we have your thought.
Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not. I was an older person, not like last year, but I was a grown person, and I didn't understand. I thought they were talking about somebody being naked, but that what they're really talking about is sexual doings. I may be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's the connotation here. Yes,
yeah,
that's what's being...
If somebody doesn't explain this, be like me, grow up, have children, everything. I'm not running around looking at people's nakedness.
Uh-huh.
But it's very personal, and evidently that's the way they wrote it in King James time. So
yes.
You didn't know what they were talking about.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe everybody knows what they're talking about but me. I'm sort of an innocent person.
Okay. Good. That's good.
It is good to be innocent, but sometimes you get a lot of trouble when you're innocent.
That's good. The one thing that was wrong. Tammy, go ahead.
You and Diane. Well, it probably wasn't so much the King James as the original language.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to have...
Yeah, she's right.
...the new version say, well, see, we did it right. No, mm-hmm. They didn't do it right.
No, that's right.
I wonder what it does say in the new version.
Probably says it out plain right for you.
We want an accurate and reliable translation. We have that right here in front of us.
There's, can I add something?
Yes.
There's subtleties to the way it's written,
mm-hmm.
that are missed when it's not word by word translation.
Mm-hmm.
And the dynamic equivalency of the new modern translations, they take a lot of liberties and assume a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be things that are missed from this very passage in the modern version.
Yes, that's right. And so we notice in here in verse 13, who is the sister of your mother considered? She's considered a near kinswoman. And who is one's aunt? She's the father's brother's bride or brother's. Who is one's aunt? And so she's related to either your father or your mother. Thy father's brother, thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Let's read some verses here, Mark. Go ahead.
evidently, the children of Israel were very immoral people. They had all this taught to them.
Yes, they were forbidden. Is this the culture that was in Egypt? This was the culture that was in Canaan?
Yeah.
And they were told, don't live like the Egyptians, the country you're leaving and the country you're going to in Canaan, don't live like them.
Right.
You're supposed to be separate and holy and peculiar people and live like God wants you to live.
That's what Christians are supposed to be, separate and different. Because this is like people are today.
Yes.
A lot of people.
That's
this
right.
Way.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And Bill has something to say.
Bill.
That's what I was about to say. The people today are very different.
Mm-hmm.
They're just as bad as they were then.
Right.
Perhaps mm-hmm. even more so, because they try to claim that their ways are right
mm-hmm.
and God's ways are wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They try to justify their ways,
mm-hmm.
which pagans years ago, they didn't care one way or
mm-hmm.
another.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But this justifying that is being done, if it feels good, do it,
mm-hmm.
They claim, that's doubly wrong.
Yeah, that's right. And you have to understand the culture of the day. If somebody's in this culture, someone's claims to be born again Christian, they have to understand the scriptures clearly. You know, if you're not married, you know, you should be living with your boyfriend. You should be living with your girlfriend.
That's right.
You need to be living in your own place, not their place. You should not be living together. It's not biblical. It's wrong. Now, this is from, it's for somebody that's a born again Christian should be doing this. Now, I'd even like to see the people that are not Christians follow the principle, but that's they don't understand. No, there's not any merit for them to be following the principles of Scripture. They need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Understand that Christ came to die for them and realize they're a sinner and repent of their sin and turn to Christ. So it's wrong for Bible-believing Christians to be living together. And so they should not be living together. If you name the name of Christ, if you claim that you're a Christian, you should not be living with your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Just move to your own place, get engaged, get married, and then, at that time, once you're married, not when you're engaged, but when you're married, that's the time it's appropriate, biblically speaking, to be living in the same apartment or the same house together. Bill?
When Mary and Joseph were betrothed, Mary knew that she was she didn't have a man.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Lord blessed her with Jesus, it came as a surprise to her when she was told that.
Right.
But that was a betrothal period there. And she kept the Lord's ways
mm-hmm.
there. Any kind of sex outside of marriage, actual marriage, is considered fornication.
Yes, it is. It's wrong.
And mm-hmm. that's what we're to avoid.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so, and sadly, you know, this behavior, as I was hinting at before, has found itself in the realm of Bible-believing churches. Now, one thing is, the apostate organizations that are around here, they don't know up from down as far as doctrine is concerned, or the scripture is concerned. They have a form of godliness to a point, but yet they're denying the very underpinnings of scripture. So the organization itself has problems with doctrine. You had a thought there, Mom, did you?
Well, yes, when I used to teach husband loving lessons mm-hmm. down there in Hamilton, and I remember this one girl, and she and her husband, she was talking about her husband, but she was not married a long time to him. She lived with him a long time
mm-hmm.
before she was married and to him, and then she got saved. A lot of people got saved in this particular group,
mm-hmm.
and she got saved, and they were still living together, and the pastor, I guess, came to them. I'm not sure, but I think it was the pastor, and told them that they were to live this way. They were Christians, and that was not the way Christians live. They had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also true of somebody that used to come to our church. Off and on. I think mm-hmm. he stopped here today. And he didn't have any place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And so her person she had been with died. And so she said, well, you can sleep here. And I guess it meant in her same room. Whatever it was. And so eventually they were sharing the bed as like a husband and wife would be. And then they got saved. They got saved, and they're still doing this. And then the pastor has to come and tell them, that's not what you do, and show them the Bible, that's not what mm-hmm. you do. You'd think they would know that, but evidently their hearts are so seared that they don't know there's anything wrong with this. And lots of times people's mothers live with other men, and they're not married to these men. And they have the same person has brothers with different fathers and mm-hmm. mothers.
Well, I mean, it's a problem, you know, of that's. But if you look in the book of Colossians, pardon me, the book of Corinthians, Church of Corinth, they had. We think it's something new, but it's not new.
It's not new.
It goes back to the first century church.
Yeah.
Of the same situation, same problems with people that are believers that are living together, or people that are believers who are. Or either one or both of them that have inappropriate relationships with each other, violating principles here, which of course we're not under the law, we're under grace. But the principles that we have seen here in verse chapter 18, those principles are being violated in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We have the principles repeated in the New Testament, so they're not just only in the Old Testament, they're also in the New Testament, these principles here of having. The level of morality and level of having the fact of needing understanding. Once one is aware of this, then they need to change.
Yes.
There may be other things, other areas of doctrine. This is a doctrine here as far as a proper relationship between two born again Christians that they should not be living together. That's a doctrine. And there's other doctrines in the scripture as well that people may not be completely aware of. And so when the Lord opens our eyes and makes us aware of these doctrines, then it is our responsibility to change. It's not just with this one instance of a 1 Corinthians 5 situation or anything else other like that, either past, present, or future. It's with any type of doctrine. Tammy, you have a thought?
I was just going to say, I was thinking of that verse, that the God of this world that blinded the eyes, and then they do not believe that they would believe in the glorious gospel.
Yes.
I mean, that's not quite right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
That's right. So, I mean, they don't see. They're blinded by Satan. So they don't understand mm-hmm. what the
no,
Bible says.
They don't. They do not understand it. That's the statement of the world. The world is, I mean, it's considered a norm.
Right.
You know. 2 Corinthians 4:4. It's considered a norm. It should not be. It should not be what is a norm. It should be we have to getting back to the biblical basis. Even there's this an odd way of having an appearance of thinking things being wholesome, but yet being a problem with them, and in some of not in the sense of. With other things as well, you have to be. Things have to be biblical, and things have to be done right, decently in order. And here in chapter 18 of Leviticus, we have the Lord speaking to Moses, and then Moses speaking to the people, what God told to him, exactly how they're to interact with each other. And again, we have to take the principle: don't be like the place you came from in your life. All of us that are born again Christians, we came from a certain part, certain aspect of our life. We don't want to go back there. We don't want to go back to Egypt. But we have to understand that we're going in our process as we grow and become more and more like Jesus Christ. There's nations, there's peoples around us that we don't want to adopt and be like them either. So that's a principle of separation. No, go back to Egypt, but yet separate yourself from the people that, the world of people that are from around. You don't have a close relationship of any sort with them. Tam, you had a thought.
Oh, I don't know if I need to say it.
Okay. Well, when you feel as though you need to, please say it, okay? Let's, Reese, go ahead.
It's very much against lesbianism and homosexuality is in here.
It is.
And it's all veiled with this King James words or wording.
That's right.
It's really very plain, but if you don't know what it's saying, it's hard to understand.
Okay.
Especially if you're an innocent person.
Yes, Jacob.
Yes, sir. You know, Jesus cleared this up over Matthew, I think it's 19.
It might be, Jacob. Matthew 19.
Yeah, I think it is. What he called it, fornication. All these sins fell into that category. Anything outside of marriage. So
yes.
That makes it easy for people that don't know all the intricacies of these.
I mean, if you or somebody you know is in this situation, you have to remedy it and get away from it. Do what God says. Don't do what society says. Don't do what Egypt did. Don't do what Canaan's doing. But do what God wants you to do. And start living like God wants you to live. Whether it's with this doctrine, specific doctrine, or if it's with another doctrine, we have to start doing what God wants, not what everyone else is doing. Everyone else is not the standard. The scripture, the word of God. This is our standard. The Bible. The Bible is our standard. And so we have to do what the Bible does, not what everybody else is doing around us.
Right.
And so the Bible says to do something, we need to do it. If it says not to do something, we need not to do it. So let's read verses 15 and following. This is Gomer, sermon 15, and Barbara, verse 16 of Leviticus chapter 18.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman or her daughter. Neither shalt thou say, son's daughter or her daughter's daughter shall uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness.
I don't know where we are.
Verse
18. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, besides the other in her lifetime.
Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness.
Moreover thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her.
And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. So, on verse 15, who is one's son's wife?
Who is the son's wife?
Who is your son's wife?
My son?
Yeah, or who? The question is, who is one's son's wife?
Okay.
It applies to your son, anyone's son.
Well, Tammy's your wife.
Okay, so what is the relationship that Tammy has to you?
She's my daughter-in-law.
That's the answer. Daughter-in-law.
I have three daughters.
I guess.
I'm a little bit.
Well, there's
three and one died.
Well, yeah, but she's...
I
yes, that's right.
There's two living.
There's two, three living.
There's three living, and one is.
Wife. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm counting two.
Yeah.
I mean,
two,
she.
One. Okay.
Got so let me ask the question another way. How many sons do you have?
I have four sons, and one's in heaven.
Okay, that was my point. I was trying to get to as far as the daughters-in-law. You have four.
Four daughter-in-law, but one died.
Okay, the same thing. One of your daughters-in-law is in heaven.
Yeah.
And then now you have another.
They're very dear to me, these girls.
Mm-hmm.
when I think about Jeanette, it just makes me cry. They're very dear. You get to know them as long as your own children,
mm-hmm.
and longer than other people. And, you know, you both love the same. A mother has a mother love, and the wife love. And you just have to learn how to be with one another and not be grabby to your son, not to boss him around. I hope I don't boss you around. And it's just a very dear relationship. And God's blessed me with very good daughters-in-law.
Amen.
Really, he has.
And so we see in verse 16, what is one's brother's nakedness? It's the nakedness of the brother's wife. And so, again, you have to keep the boundaries within these relationships that one is having. Because it's abomination. This is the way things were done in Egypt. This is the way things were going to be done in Canaan. Jill, verse 17, what is wickedness?
Well, being that I write big and there wasn't enough room for me to write the entire verse, because the whole verse comprises wickedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and a daughter. That's wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter. That's wickedness. Or her daughter's daughter. And that's wickedness as well as the fact of uncovering her nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
For they are her near kinswomen. All of that comprises wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. And we thank you, Joel. So we see here in verse 18, you know, it's in verse 18, and he said, at this point in time, after the fact, we have some examples from the Jewish history, but from this point forward, they were not to marry the sister. Neither shall they take a wife to her sister to vex her. That's wrong. It's to uncover her. So it's this wrong to be able to want to vex the wife by marrying the sister. What is forbidden to approach a woman? We see her in... when is it forbidden? And we see her when she is in her uncleanness, as long as she's put apart with her uncleanness. Tammy, verse 20, what are the boundaries with regard to one's neighbor's wife? Oh, this is good. I'm sorry, make a comment first, then ask the question.
I was going to comment on the last two verses. It's interesting because that's Rachel and Leah.
Yes, it is, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't necessarily Jacob's intention,
mm-hmm.
but that's...
That was the result, was it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. How
uh-huh.
it turned out,
mm-hmm.
As far as taking the wife and her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one about forbidden to approach a woman, that's interesting too, because we just covered that.
Yes.
In Leviticus 15,
mm-hmm.
Verses 24 to 28.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And then the question that you asked me was number 19. What are the boundaries with regard to one's neighbor's life? It's not to lie carnally with her.
That's right.
He will defile himself.
Yeah, so that, again, this would happen in Egypt. This is how the Egyptians behaved many times, I'm sure. And this is how the Canaanites were behaving. And God tells the children of Israel, don't behave that way. This is how, in our day, you know, this is in our Canaan, the people that live around us, this is how people behave. In our Egypt, when we left Egypt, not literally, but metaphorically, that's how people behaved. And so there has to be a difference. And it's forbidden. The Lord forbids it. And we notice in verse 21, what part does Moloch play in one's life? It shouldn't play any part. Don't let your seed pass through the fire of Moloch. Like, you don't want to make common, you don't want to profane the name of God. Let's read some more verses here. Ms. Grummer, verses 22, and Barbara, verse 23, and so forth.
Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination.
Thou shalt not lie. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. It's not my turn.
Never shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith.
land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out of her inhabitants.
Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you.
For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled.
That the land stay not you out also, when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you.
For whosoever shall commit any of these trespasses, for any of these abominations, even the soul that commits them, shall be cut off from among the people. Therefore shall ye keep my ordinances, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. And so we notice here in verse 22, what is an abomination? Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. This is an abomination. We have various levels of abominations that are mentioned in this chapter, and whether or not abomination is legislated to be right doesn't make it right. There are people that they're people, there are countries that legislate legislation about things being right and being wrong. Now, the standard needs to be the Word of God. It's not what the legislatures say, it's what the Word of God says. Jill.
Did we do verse 21 or question 21 yet?
I think we did.
Okay.
We did.
Missed it or something.
You don't want to let your seed pass through the fire of Moloch, which is that's what false god. You don't want to offer your children the Moloch. Yeah, that's Moloch is not real. It's not real. You want to dedicate your children to the Lord, not to some false god.
They put their babies.
Yes, exactly. That's what they did. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah. And so, all because something is legislated doesn't make it right. Now, there are things that there's a progression. You know, there is a progression. I mean, there is an acceptance of common law marriage, which is wrong, and then there's the acceptance of mankind who lives with mankind as with womankind. That's now legislative accepted. And there's a progression. And as we get through this chapter here, we have not, at least in this country, has not gone this far, but well, I'm not sure what's preventing them. And the last one is speaking, the people are in a corner and they cannot get out of it.
In a corner.
They're in other words, they're cornered. Do you have an expression of being in a corner?
Yes.
Bill.
Yeah, I heard on the news a few days ago, there's a school board in California, I don't remember which part of it, a parent of one child said they don't want their kids taught that homosexuality is a legitimate lifestyle. And the school board wrote to the parents and said, this is standard, it's accepted science today, therefore it is fact. And we are going to teach it, and your child must attend these classes.
Right. At one point in time, you'd have this is going back a generation or two before, or generation or whatever, however you want to count it. Prior to this, you'd have an option, like in California. Even in California, a few generations back, even with I'm going to use the word normal. Even with the normal relationships that mothers and fathers have, when they have to bring in this in their so-called health classes or the PE classes, that was the children would have an option, the parents would have an option if they wanted to withhold their children from those particular classes on those particular days. But now, like you're saying, Bill, no longer even do you have an option. They're forced to sit there.
That's right.
And be educated. This false. So Jill and Bill.
Well, basically, you know, it's terrible, you know, I've heard, you know, things like I mentioned, like Bill, you know, as Bill's referring to, but basically they just want to indoctrinate you in these sinful lifestyles. They want to brainwash these kids to have them believe that what's good is evil and evil's good. You know, like the Bible says, in the end, these things will have these abominations and call on good evil and evil good. And mm-hmm. everything will be turned upside down and people will be, you know, sense strong delusion to believe a lie.
Yes. That's right.
That's right. Not in them.
So.
When all the years that I went through school, even through high school, a person who was a homosexual usually tried to keep it a secret because it was very embarrassing for mm-hmm. that person if they didn't.
Yes.
Because others would make fun of them. And even the teachers would snicker behind their back.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuality was certainly not accepted anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At that time. Now, it's out in the open. They want to rub it in your face and say, this is legitimate, like it, or
mm-hmm. yep.
go somewhere else or something, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
We've done a complete turnaround.
It's very sad. Very sad. And, the United States is adopting the practice of Egypt, and adopting the practice of Canaan, adopting the practice of Gomorrah, of Sodom and other places, Rome. Name your cultures. And like you said, some of these cultures, they're history now. Historicalists, they're in the history books. They don't exist anymore. Joel.
Yeah, and just recently I've seen something where Chelsea, I don't know what, I can't remember his first name, it's really a man, but...
Oh,
he,
yeah.
Chelsea Manning, he changed sexes and all. Now he's
in jail.
A woman or whatever. Yeah, he's in jail. But, you know, for abandoning and he had traded to his country and going AWOL and stuff over in, what was it, Afghanistan, one of those countries, just abandoning his troops and his people and just mm-hmm. being a coward, running away. And then he was kidnapped by people there, and he said, and, you know, all this other stuff. But the thing is that that's, you know, not only, you know, that, but also the fact that the liberals, or anybody, not just liberals, people are saying, okay, they want him to run for Congress now, and they're wanting him to run for Congress, and they're promoting him to run for Congress, which is even
is he a felon, Joe? Did he commit a felony? If he went AWOL, is that a felony?
Well, yeah, I believe he went to jail for that for a while. I don't know how many years or whatever.
Well, then how could felons be the kids?
Well,
they can't vote. How could he be a congressman?
I don't know if he was just let out or what.
Okay. I mean,
I didn't hear the whole story about
maybe
he's
a misdemeanor, but I don't know. Just a second, Jacob. Bill, and Jacob.
Yeah, well, he's a hero because of his homosexuality. And not only that, he had a sex change operation paid by the U.S. taxpayer. Mm-hmm. And also, other homos are going into the service and having sex change operations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all being billed to the public.
Mm-hmm.
$100,000 or so per crack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's becoming common.
That's right. It's very sad, isn't it? Very sad.
Yeah.
So it's the military has become a social experiment.
Yeah,
and certainly should not be a social experiment. They're there to defend the country, you know. To Joe, you there, Tom?
No, I think I heard somebody say they're actually proud of him for being a homo, standing up for fellow homos, and also wanting to run for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
They're proud of that entire thought process mm-hmm. of his.
Right.
Looks like a girl. He's
wearing makeup like a girl.
Yeah.
I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's also had a sex change operation.
Yeah,
too.
That's right, like I said before. Yeah.
But his DNA, what does his DNA say?
Well, it's an it.
What does his DNA say? It says it's a. First, he, that's right. DNA says it's a he. He's a he.
He's done it only once, but he still is he.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Can't change it.
Even if you bring your hair below your neck, it's you're still a he. The same thing situation we have there was something that happened in Haddon Heights. There was somebody that's a similar situation. That the same thing. They were he that wanted to dress up like a anyway. Well, and so the idea of in verse 23, Mrs. Grummer, verse 23, who Why this confusion, Mrs. Grover, based on verse 23?
I'm sorry, Pastor Dan. She had to go lay down.
Okay. That's fine. Barbara, what is confusion?
It's confusion for all of the beast. Just recently I heard prostitution has been legal in Germany and Europe in general, but Germany in particular for decades. They have now opened houses of bestiality to be as legal as prostitution.
Okay, so there's that progression. We're not quite that far in the United States, but we're usually about, at least from doctrinal study, at least historically, doctrinally, we were about 20, 30 years behind Germany, and perhaps morally, maybe the same. We're not quite there yet, but again, all because it's legislated doesn't mean it's true. I mean, Merkel could do all she wants, you know, Merkel should be opposed to this type of thing. But she's not. The legislature there is in agreement with that, and it's horrible. And what the Bible says again, this is how the Egyptians behaved. This is how the Canaanites behaved. Where you came from and where you're going to, this is the behavior of the people, the populace. But it's God says don't do it, all because people are may do it, may say, oh, it's. They can justify it any way they want to, and they will try to justify it any way they want to, as we see, as the example that Barbara just stated there over in Germany. They've adopted this. They've adopted this because they've gotten so used to the callousness of sin, the callousness of doing things that are wrong, and. We see again how there's a greater value in an unborn kitten, for instance, than an unborn child. Then there's a greater value in an unborn puppy than an unborn child. You know, with the animals' rights this is backward thinking. This is Egyptian thinking. This is Canaanite thinking of what is valuable, what is right, and what's wrong. What's right is to follow and do things God's way, and not the way things the Egyptians do, or the way the things the Canaanites do. Tammy.
Well, the animal rights, that's very akin to Hinduism as well, because they bow down and worship the cow and to the exclusion of their own. Needs, you know, they'll give to the cow because they think it's somehow sacred.
Right. I mean, they're in some instances they're starving, and yet they and there's this animal that's right there. That's in the whole the. But anyway, looking at verse 24, who was cast out? We see here. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for all these things, the nations, are defiled, which I cast out before you. See, these things we were talking about in this chapter. But those that were in the land of Israel prior to God giving them the land, God is casting them out because of their abomination, because of their wickedness, because of their sin. And He's giving them admonition. Don't be like them. Don't behave and act like them. You have to act and behave like is outlined in the Scripture. And what's defiled? We see the land itself is defiled. And we see and it says it vomiteth out her inhabitants. Because the land itself is defiled. Because they have backward and wrong thinking. Now, people can... You know, you cannot legislate morality, but you can enunciate morality. It's right, proper for people to be moral in all sorts of aspects of their lives. They have to be moral. They have to do what's right. They have to, there's a standard. There's a standard with right and wrong. Now, the people's, as we know in Romans chapter 1, Their consciousness had been seared as if with a hot iron, so they're not sensitive to sin. They're not sensitive to right and wrong. What the scripture calls wrong, what the scripture calls sin, the Egyptians of our day, the Canaanites of our day, say, everything's fine with it. Everything's okay with it. It should be highly recommended for people to do. We should teach in the schools. Let's cut out a science class. Let's cut out a math class to teach these more important things. You know, to teach more, to be more important cultural things. To teach about how we can save our environment. How we can save this, how we can save that. And how we can live like the Egyptians, and how we can live like the Canaanites. So, in verse 26, Bill, what are the children of Israel to keep?
The Lord's statutes and judgments.
But to keep the statutes and judgments of the Lord. And so when people fail to do that, what happens? And when Israel failed to do that, they failed, they were highly influenced by the people around them. And they found themselves in sin. So of Israel. They failed in their history. In their Hebrew history, they failed to keep the statutes and judgments of the Lord all the time, faithfully. Now, I understand they're people. We're people. We fail to keep God's standards and judgments often as well. And when we do that, we have to confess our sin. 1 John 1:9. And God is faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us. But in verse 26, the people of Israel are being encouraged, being admonished to follow the statutes, to follow the judgments of God. And he says, don't commit any of these abominations in Canaan. And follow after on the right path and not on the wrong path. What have the men in the land done? We see in verse 27, all these abominations that were listed above. All the abominations. We don't have to relist them, we can remember them. But many of these abominations are present today. Some of them are present today in our culture. Many of them are present in our culture. In our Canaan. And we have to understand, you know, we're in Egypt. We have to understand the fact that we have to avoid these things. They must be avoided. Is there why the scripture says in verse 27, they defile the land. And so we see in verse 28, what is to be spewed out? What was spewed out? The land had spewed them out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. So if there is a... Israel is being told here, if they fail to keep the ordinances and statutes and judgments of God, that they will be spewed out, just like the Canaanites were spewed out for their wickedness and for their sin. Bill.
Because the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, they lost their homeland as well.
They did.
For 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm. They did. They're still rejecting him, even though they have a form of their homeland back. They still are rejecting him. Many of them, I mean, as a national Israel is rejecting them. They have a form of godliness. They're maintaining part of the standards of the Old Testament. But when we come to chapter 18, sometimes even Israel itself is very tolerant. They want peace so badly that they're willing to tolerate things that are contrary to their own. To Leviticus chapter 18, which is not, it's not. It's their law. It is their law. I mean, I'm not saying it's not the church's law, but in very specific. I mean, the church and Israel are distinct organizations, and so we're not necessarily bound by the Old Testament. You know, they're ready for our ministry. We can learn from these things, and there's principles that are concealed here in the Old Testament. There's things that are revealed and concealed and exposed here in the Old Testament that we can benefit from, and that are also repeated in the New Testament. But Israel today is very tolerant of these things on the list here in chapter 18. Modern day Israel. Now I'm up pro-Israel. I'm for Israel. I want them to be successful. And they will be successful from a certain aspect of things. But they cannot continue to close their eyes and turn their back on God, which is what they're doing. They want to, the Messiah's come. Okay, so we can't fault them for wanting to look for the Messiah, but why are they continually rejecting the Messiah? And then furthermore, why are they continually being influenced by the Canaanites around them as far as accepting the behavior of all these people? Now, great, they cannot legislate morality, they understand that. But what they're doing there, they're being too tolerant of certain things. And Israel, present day Israel and the past day Israel, they were tolerant of things. They became exactly like the people that were around them. And so we see here in verse 29 what will happen to the one who commits those abominations. It says they're going to be cut off from among the people. And we notice in verse 30 what was to be kept. The ordinances of God must be kept. And Israel, they failed to keep them. So that brought them into the judgment, Babylonian captivity judgment. And we see that modern day Israel, whatever form that is in, whether it's not only is in its full state now, full completion of Israel, full restoration of Israel, but nonetheless we see that when they come to the point of continually rejecting God, I mean, yeah, you have different types of Jews that live there. Understand that. But we have, they are going to come into the 70th week of Daniel. You know, this during the 70th week of Daniel, we have that's during the tribulation time period.
Excuse me, what's going to come during the 70th week of Daniel?
The tribulation. Okay. Daniel's 70th week and the tribulation are the same, or one and the same. And so you're going to have this peace treaty that's going to be established by Antichrist. The Israelites want peace, perhaps not at any cost. They want to be safe. They can't strategically give up land that's going to put them in danger. They don't want to do that, but they've given up some land for the hopes of peace. But the point is, their enemies around them, they don't want peace. They want everything.
Right.
They want everything. But they're trying. They're trying to keep the peace. And they have a hard time of it sometimes. And so, when we think of this chapter, you know, this is the culture of the world. It's being described here in many cases. The minds of the rationalism of the world. They say, oh, it's okay. What's wrong with that? You know, it's okay to have, well, everyone else is doing it. It's completely irrational sometimes. What the world does. Of course, they don't have the scripture, they don't have the spirit. But again, to highlight the fact that people that do have the spirit, the people that are born again Christians, the people that are saved, we have to understand the fact that, as I said before, so let me highlight this again. If you're doing something contrary to Scripture, you have to change. If we as believers are doing something contrary to Scripture, we have to change. No matter if there's something that's outlined here in chapter 18, or is outlined out someplace else from other parts of the Scripture. So, Mrs. Barber, in verse 31, what is important to live? Why is it important to live by God's rules and standards?
He created us and he redeemed us. But religion determines how you're going to act. The people in Canaan and Egypt only followed through on what they believed. The Canaanites were fertility goddess worshippers, so sacred sex was important to them. And the whole culture reflected this. The bottom line in all of this is that God thinks of marriage, and marriage is to reflect Him and His holiness. If we are His, and redemption through Christ, then we need to reflect who He is. He has got us. We are not our own. We are to submit to Him. We are slaves to Him. We have nothing that is ours. Everything should be reflective of Him. And by doing so, we show forth His glory to other people. That's my nutshell. Mm-hmm. I could expand for a little while longer, but that's my nutshell.
Good. Jacob, how about you? What are your thoughts about this this question? Why is it important to live by God's rules and standards? Why is that so important?
Yeah, I think it comes down to the last thing Barbara said. This is for God's glory. We're created in His image. And when he shed His blood on that cross to pay for the sins of the whole world, this was to bring us back to Him. And you know, it's for our good. It mentions that in Deuteronomy over and over again, but the ultimate thing is for his name, for His glory, for, you know, to magnify His name and show He's we're not our own. Even the people that are unsaved don't believe. I mean, I don't think most of them realize that He did this for everyone that ever lived, past, mm-hmm. present, and future.
That's right. So how about you?
I'm going to get a little bit more basic
than
what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I can look in the mirror and I can see I'm a boy. I'm not a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I recognized that when I was a little kid. So I never pretended to be a girl,
mm-hmm.
or I never imagined myself being a girl, mm-hmm. which is, I think, where a lot of those weirdos come from.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a plain and simple fact.
Mm-hmm.
The way that people reproduce, the way that animals reproduce, the way that plants reproduce, all are designed by God. It is a system that is perfect. It was set up by God.
Mm-hmm.
We should follow that. Also, we should go by God's laws and not mix them with our own ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders in one country want something from another country. If they were godly people, they wouldn't be doing that. We wouldn't have wars. We wouldn't have strife. We would find better ways of living together. And we would use the Bible to do that. We don't need a leader to be brutal to his own people or to people in other countries. This is against God's laws. We're not to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not to covet other people's possessions. So therefore, we shouldn't have greed about getting something that another people in another country have. We can set up systems of trade,
mm-hmm.
and deal peacefully with each other. All the problems that we have in the world is because we defy God.
Mm-hmm.
If we would follow God's ordinance, is we wouldn't have problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's right. What are your thoughts on 31, Mom, please?
What is the importance to live by God's rule and standards? That you may not commit any of the abomination customs that they saw committed before their eyes, lest they too be defiled.
Mm-hmm.
That's my answer.
How about you, Joel? What do you get for 31?
Well, I just wrote the answer a few minutes ago, but I agree with what everybody else said here, but I just put for my answer, we must glorify God in our body, heart, and soul, not grieve the Holy Spirit. Instead, we have to obey God, His commands, laws, and statutes, and His word overall. We must be humble and examine ourselves closely and continuously.
We should. How about you, Tammy? 31.
For us as Christians, that we can keep close communion and fellowship with the Lord. In the case of Israel, in verse 28, it says that the land spew you not out also when you defile it. So all these sins defile the land. And that's exactly what Israel was promised from God. And as it spewed out the nations before you. So all those nations that were, or they were living in Egypt, and then they went to Canaan, and they conquered the land. But yet there were those nations that remained, like the Gibeonites, that were never driven out, and avoid being cut off from Israel. So, you know, there's different application depending on whether we're of Israel and not. I mean, in the time period that this was written, and even today, but they need to be saved, obviously.
Yes.
So today. But anyway.
That's great. Barbara, what is the fallacy of the everyone else is doing it mentality?
Well, I could be a Berean and check the scriptures for myself to see if whether these things be so. And on top of that, everyone is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes.
If I blindly follow you, when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, Christ isn't going to ask me, what did Daniel say about this? He said, they better my words than this, what are you doing with that? And I can't say, well, whatever Daniel says, that's right. I think it just boils down to we each should give an account of ourselves.
Yep, that's right. We are. And we will. Jacob, how about you? Your thoughts on this question, 32.
Well, I took a clipboard and I did a survey of 200 random people. No, I'm just kidding.
And you did, Jacob. What would they say?
No, I didn't. I was just playing. Hey, I wanted to say, I think somebody named Herbert Marcuse from the Frankfurt School before they came from Germany. They were the Frankfurt School of Marxism, but I think he's the one that quoted the phrase, and I think if I'm wrong, Bill will correct me, he probably knows better than I do. If it feels good, do it. I think the same person said, make love, not war. And this is
not the kind of love he was thinking of.
This is how nations fall.
Could you say, Bill?
Over here in Kings, when Asa was when Asa, his father passed away, Jeroboam. I think it says here in 1 Kings 15, 12, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. You know, this is this verse 21 of Leviticus 18, thou shalt not let thy seed pass the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. Yeah, it wasn't just the Baal worship thing. It was Molech and the gods, the Amorites. It was Ashtaroth and alchemy. A lot of people were doing this in different ways. But these are always connected, it seems like, here. And when you go through the history of this, you see that this is not good. This is really bad. I know that an idol is nothing.
Yes.
But the devil is. And this is what they're doing here. I don't care what it is, if it's not Bible faith. Even if it's just a person's own imagination, they've made themselves their gods. You know, they created them in imagination and basically made themselves a god. You know, made themselves into a god.
Yes, they have. They have everything.
That's all I have to say about that.
How about you, Paul? 32.
Survey of 200 random people.
Sure.
We start off by obeying God, by listening to His words, and trying to follow what He says. But as we think about it more and more,
it becomes the only way that actually makes sense. God gives us a reason to follow his rules.
Mm-hmm.
And as we think about some of the things that are going on in the world today,
mm-hmm.
Which don't make any sense, how spontaneous and how irrational so many people are in the world in all of the things that they do. If we give more thought to what God wants from us, everything makes so much more sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we should follow.
Yes, that's right. We should. It just makes sense. How are you, Mom? 32, please.
What is the fallacy of the everyone else is doing it mentality? The person who commits these acts in their mind and imaginations are as guilty as the people who act them out.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Have your thoughts on 32, Tammy?
When one thinks this way, in other words, the fallacy that everyone else is doing it,
mm-hmm.
they disregard the word and the will of God,
mm-hmm.
and that it's not possible to live by faith when you fail to think on those things which God has given us,
mm-hmm.
and we will not know more of Christ, but we will know rather more of sin,
mm-hmm.
and it mm-hmm. reminds me of Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Mm. Meditation.
Sure. How about you, Joel? Question 32.
Well, I can go extremely deep into it. I just...
That's fine.
Answer the questions. Mm-hmm. It's just... Probably going to sound like a monotonous answer to everybody, I'm sure. I just put here pretty obvious things.
Mm-hmm.
People are influenced by the people around them. They do so mostly because they want to be accepted by other people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be rejected by them. They'd rather not lose other people's acceptance than even come to God and become
right.
saved,
mm-hmm.
really. But, you know, the fallacy of everybody else doing it mentality is that people presume the more that people are doing something,
mm-hmm.
the more it must be correct or it must be right.
Yes.
And that's a very mm-hmm. grave fallacy. It could mm-hmm. lead them to their graves
right.
without the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Easily.
It could lead them to not become saved. And, you know, we have to go according to God's standards in the Bible, not go down to man.
Mm-hmm.
Man's
that's
standards.
Right.
And the way he lives.
That's good. That's what we have to do. More thoughts on chapter 18, anyone has? So that maybe want to talk about some more or something you didn't have the opportunity to say?
But basically, the chapter is a massacre, not the scripture, but the Canaanite practice, was a massacre of God's idea with marriage and what it stands for and what it represents.
Mm-hmm. Any more thoughts or comments? Thank you, Barbara, for that. Anything else anyone has?
Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Yes, Andrew.
Yeah, on what Barbara said, and there was a marriage in the first part of the Bible, and there's a marriage in the last part of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Word of the bride of Christ, so...
Interesting, yes. Good observation, Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Comparison to that here.
Yeah,
that's... How it's supposed to be handled here.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. just the order and the kids and employers, and even when they had servitude, the servant to his master and you know, the student to his teacher.
Mm-hmm.
There's an order. It's just God's order, and this is the way it's supposed to be.
Yes. It's good.
Yeah.
Well, Jacob, would you please close in prayer for us today?
Can't do anything apart from you. It's good. Thank you so much for. lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me. Then first the heart is moved, and they see this truth that they can come just in a moment. Lord, forgive us of all our sins we committed before we were saved, and Lord, keep us. I know your word says you do that, but our minds are not totally like yours yet. We need plenty of your spirit and truth here in the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Next. Our study guide here.
Two sides of this, the front and the back. Just wondering.
Thank you.
There's a little viewer for Robert.
Thank you.
Robert. Mexico's doing okay.
He okay? He had surgery or something.
Yeah, he had surgery. Not surgery. Well, procedure. Not really, you know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, surgery and something like that. But of his shoulders.
Uh-huh.
One of his shoulders. I don't know. They,
is it helping him?
I think so. Sometimes they go well. Sometimes they don't go that well. But I think this time went relatively well. Yeah. Yeah, it depends if the doctor be able to get into the nerve properly, or at the angle in which he injects the nerve, if he gets at the proper angle.
Which one do you want there? It's all chance, sort of, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Chance? No, I guess it is a skill, though.
Yeah, well, he tries his best, you know, the surgeon, the skills he has, and the discernment he has, and being able to look physically at what's wrong.